And I'm still looking around for that good preacher Bob was talking about. I don't know where he's at. That's right, any minute. When he does, I'll step aside. I'll do that. All right. Jonah chapter 4 tonight, if you would. Jonah chapter 4. And have you guys heard about Christina Tyson having an accident this week? Okay. All right. Just pray for her if you would. She got a text a little while ago and from Pastor, and he says Christina's feeling a little better. She had a tremor in her arm and another speech issue this afternoon as resting. This type of seizure is typical with a concussion. We appreciate everyone's prayers, and we plan to be back on Friday night. So just please pray for them if you would. And, of course, they wanted to get away for a while to do just that, to get away and kind of rest a little bit. And, of course, Monday she had this accident. And that's really a way you want to start a vacation. So please just pray that she gets the rest she needs. And so just send them a text that you're praying for him. Encourage him. And we'll, Lord willing, see him here on Sunday and back Friday night. Here in Jonah chapter 4 this evening. And I love studying through God's Word. I love studying about missionaries. And this is going to be a bit of a missionary sermon here tonight as we think about our conference coming up in a couple weeks. All right, when's the date, Brother Bob? Is it? Okay, 29th. I should know because I'm scheduled to be here. So I hope I'm okay. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So. You'll be here too, right, Bill Jeff? You'll be here. That's right, yeah. 2015, all right, not 2016. All right, so, this is probably more of a thought. It's kind of a thought tonight, and it's not going to be a bombastic type of, revival service. It's kind of a thought to get across to you, and encouragement, hopefully, to be able to help you as we each and every day strive to please the Lord, first of all, in our life, and also to live for Him and serve Him. But in Jonah chapter 4, I love Jonah. I love studying about, the evangelist Philip there in the New Testament. I love studying about all the disciples as they followed Christ and they spread the gospel in their region. I enjoy studying about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, how he went out and spread the gospel in his regions beyond. And here Jonah is an Old Testament prophet, a preacher, a missionary. All right, he was called by God to go to a certain place called Nineveh. And we know the story here. We're not going to read through the whole book of Jonah, although it wouldn't take very much time tonight. We'll read in chapter 4, because I believe chapter 4 is kind of the reason that we have the book of Jonah in the canon of Scripture with us here tonight. And you'll see what I mean in a moment. And chapter 4, I think, is really the heart of the message of Jonah. Because if you were to read chapter 1, 2, and 3, all right, I would love to write a prayer letter on the success of chapter 3. Man, Jonah had an awesome prayer letter. The whole city got saved. Man, I tell you what. If we went to Australia and I said the whole city of Sydney got saved, man, what an awesome prayer letter. I tell you what. That's fantastic, you know. So, I mean, he was a very successful missionary in that aspect. All right, he had millions of people converted, repented. I mean, everybody got right with God. But the issue we have in Jonah chapter 4 is an issue with Jonah's heart. All right, there's an issue going on here, and try to help you understand what's happening and why I believe we have this before us here tonight. Here in chapter 4, in verse number 1, this is after the very successful missionary journey, or mission, if you would, of Jonah. And by the way, it starts chapter 4 with the word but it displeased Jonah. If you flick over to chapter 1, in verse number 3, once again we see that word, but Jonah, and then verse 4, but the Lord. Okay, so, and then, you know, in life, when we butt up against the Lord, he's an above against us. Amen. All right, because, and so we have this going on here, but Jonah, but the Lord. Then we have in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah. All right, then we have chapter 3, in verse 3, so Jonah. And then we have again in chapter 4, verse 1, we're back to this word again, but it displeased Jonah. All right, so here we know the story. Very familiar, probably heard this, you know, growing up in Sunday school, and you get all the, you know, different themes you have in your Sunday school class with whales and Jonah and the whale and so forth. We have here in chapter 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life. And Jonah should have stopped right there. He should have said, Lord, take, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life. But he didn't. He says, from me. Take, he wants to die. That's how intense this was, what was going on in Jonah's heart. It was very intense. There's something going on here, and we're going to discover what it was. But he says, take thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And you kind of, you know, sense Jonah's attitude and spirit at this time, and he's hoping that God would change his mind. He's hoping that God would destroy this city, and he's not thankful and praising the Lord for the repentance and for them getting saved. Here in verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. Here we go, we're at a point he wants to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, speaking of children, and much cattle. And there we have a question mark that ends the book of Jonah. And there's a reason for that. There's no verse 12. All right, there's no verse. That's the way the book ends. And I believe it's our responsibility, because we're much like Jonah tonight. We're going to kind of put him on trial a little bit tonight. And we're also on trial here this evening. But we need to fill out verse 12 in our own life to understand what the problem was with Jonah. And so we're going to consider Jonah here as a missionary candidate. And we have Brother Jeffrey here tonight. And, of course, he just approved through being on MI a couple months ago. It was after Christmas, I believe it was. And so he is used to a barrage of questions, all right, no doubt. Being a missionary, you fill out these nice questionnaires. You know, obviously you go through a mission board. You got set before a committee. They ask you questions. I'm not sure how it works, but I'm sure he has some kind of dealings with that. As you go on making meetings, you get questionnaires in the mail, all right? And he knows all about that, all right? What you believe on this, your theology, what don't you believe, and so forth, and testing and trying to find out who you are, where you're from, and your background, so forth. So tonight we're going to give Jonah an opportunity to be on the stand here. I want to call three witnesses and to testify against Jonah as we investigate his life a little bit deeper tonight to see what his issue was. First of all, we're going to call the witness of his credentials. All right, we have three witnesses tonight. First of all, his witness of his credentials. Then we'll get to the witness of his companions. Then we'll get to the witness of his creator. All right, that'll be the three points here tonight. So you got it? Let's pray and go home. All right? All right. So it's not quite that short. All right? Not quite that short. All right? That's right. Write it down quick. So, all right. All right, first of all, witness of his credentials. All right, we know, first of all, and I get this question a lot. All right, as a missionary, you get this question, Brother Jeffrey can testify. By the way, we're all missionaries, okay? We all have responsibility to take the gospel into the uttermost part of the earth and around our neighborhood and so forth. You know the responsibility, you know the job we've been called to do. So technically, we're all missionaries. We all have this job to do. And so the first question I have here concerning Jonah's credentials is this. Has God called him? Did God call Jonah? And Jonah, do you feel a call from God? All right, well, we have that there. In fact, God called him twice. All right, so he has double power than I have, all right? God called him twice. here in chapter 1 and verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. All right, so God's call to the life of Jonah. Then we have again in chapter 3, verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. All right, so that's Jonah's call. All right, so he got called twice. And Jonah could say, yes, I'm called as a missionary. I'm called. Where are you going, Jonah? I'm going to Nineveh. That's my calling in my life, and I feel God's want me to preach the gospel to people in Nineveh. All right, so yes, I'm called. All right, question number two for your credentials, Jonah, is are you correct in your theology? All right, and this is something that we fill out as missionaries. All right, what do you believe about baptism, about Lord's Supper, standards, so forth? And so, Jonah, what's your theology stand? Where do you stand on that? Is your theology biblical? And he would say, yeah, certainly it is. In chapter 2, in verse number 9, latter part of that verse, it says, salvation is of the Lord. I believe, yes, God is the reason we get saved, that we get saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. His theology is solid. And he knows there in chapter 4, in verse number 2, he knows about God. He says, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, God slow to anger, of great kindness. So Jonah knows about God. He says, theology is solid, it's secure. And so here we have Jonah. He has the call of God upon his life. All right, he has good theology. Next question for Jonah is, Jonah, do you pray? Does Jonah pray? And he said, wow, yeah, do I pray? I pray in very weird places. All right, so here we have Jonah praying, all right, in chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. All right, I must admit, I never been to the fish's belly before. I never prayed there before. All right, so yes, Jonah is a prayer warrior. All right, he spent the whole chapter praying. All right, so yes, I prayed and God answers prayer. Jonah can testify to that. Yes, I prayed and the fish vomited me up out into dry land. And yes, God answers prayer. All right, Jonah, question number 4. You've done some preaching before. Does your preaching bring results? Man, of course it does. It certainly does. Man, the whole city repented under my preaching. Man, I went in there and in a couple days' time, I traversed the city. I crossed it. People got saved. The whole city turned. Yes, my preaching brings results. People got saved. And so far, Jonah's looking pretty good. He got a calling upon his life. He's a prayer warrior. He knows his theology. He does preaching. Number 5, Jonah, can you quote Scripture? Are you able, do you believe in Bible memory? And Jonah's, oh, of course I can. They're in chapter 2, and they're starting in verse number 2 all the way down to verse number 9. He's quoting there in Psalm. All right, Psalms, and also quoting from two different experiences there in chapter 4, verse number 2. Again, speaking of the description of God, that was taken from the book of Exodus and Numbers. So yes, Jonah knew Psalms. He knew the prophets, Old Testament prophets. He knew his Bible. All right, so Jonah is a great, his credentials are there. They're adding up for him. All right, so he's a prayer warrior. He knows the Scripture. He knows his Bible. He's good on theology. He has a call of God upon his life. And another question for Jonah, do you have courage? Jonah, do you have courage tonight? Of course I have courage. I was willing to be thrown overboard for those people on the ship. I have courage. I mean, that takes courage to do that. How many of you would jump overboard to save somebody else's life? All right, so he had courage. Man, he's looking pretty good. All right, he has all his credentials. His credentials are giving him a good witness. Let's move on to point number 2. We have the witness of his companions. All right, witness of his companions. All right, chapter 1. Chapter 1, we have his sailor friends. All right, as they take the witness stand, we ask them, all right, sailors, what do you know about Jonah? How was he for you there on the ship? All right, and they would say, he's a troublemaker. Man, we were going fine until this man named Jonah came aboard our ship. Not only that, but he was sleeping. He fell asleep below the ship. We were losing our gear. Our ship was ready to sink. We're about to die, and here's Jonah sleeping on the ship. All right, so, man, he's causing trouble left and right. And by the way, some cause trouble because they're out of the will of God, and some cause because they're in. All right, Jonah caused trouble because he's out of the will of God. All right, David caused trouble because he's out of the will of God. Abraham caused trouble because he was out of the will of God. Jesus Christ caused trouble because he was in the will of God. The Apostle Paul, someone once said, wherever Apostle Paul went, he either caused a revival or a riot. That's it, a riot. All right, every place he went. All right, he was causing trouble because he was in the will of God. But here, Jonah is a troublemaker, and he's out of the will of God. All right, so he has the testimony of his companions is not good on the ship. All right, let's call to witness stand the great fish. All right, in chapter 2. All right, move along here as we find out more about Jonah. All right, we have his credentials. We have now his companions testifying against him. There in chapter 2, we understand the great fish, and we ask the fish if they could talk. All right, we say, fish, what do you think about Jonah? He would say he's stubborn. A stubborn man. He could have repented in the ship, but they had to toss him overboard. He could have even repented when he's in the water. But the Lord caused me to come up and had to swallow him. Now he's in my stomach, and he's a stubborn guy. In fact, it took him 3 days to repent. Sitting there in my stomach, it took him 3 days to ask the Lord to forgive him and that he would do what God wanted him to do. Very stubborn man. In fact, I can't even stomach him. Okay? All right? All right. Well, it's Wednesday night, all right? All right, so. All right, then we have the people of Nineveh. What do the people of Nineveh have to say about Jonah, his companions there? Chapter 3. All right, they come to witness stand. The people of Nineveh say he came to be as our Savior. He preached unto us the gospel of repentance. But we don't understand him. He should be teaching us and following up with visits and coming to us and discipling us, but he's not. He's sitting outside the city limits complaining and whining. So it's adding up here. His companion testimony is not looking too good right now. All right, his credentials look great. His companion testimony doesn't look too good. All right, then we have in chapter 4, let's ask the worm what he thought about Jonah. All right, the worm. And we're going to ask the worm, talking to animals tonight, all right? Fish and worms, all right? That's right, yeah, that's right. I'm a bad theology. All right, the worm. What did he say about Jonah? Now, he's an immature person. He's very childish. He lives by his feelings. He's angry at God because he didn't get what he wanted. He has no burden for the lost. He's hoping the city will be destroyed. And in fact, he's very much unlike the God that he preaches. Because didn't Jonah say that God is merciful? God's loving kindness. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. But Jonah, you're not displaying that. You're not practicing what you preach. Understand that it's not important to know about God. We have to know God. And, you know, we're going to have little applications throughout this lesson here tonight. But we need to really understand it's more than just knowing about God. We have to know God, who he is. You get to know somebody by spending time with them. So Jonah got A's on his theology exams, man, but he really didn't know God. His prayers are selfish. In fact, chapter 2, you think about his prayers there in chapter 2, he prayed to save his own skin. He didn't do that in chapter 1 about those guys, his shipmates on the ship. In chapter 4, he's praying that he would die. So very, very selfish prayers. He's pampered. In fact, the thing that makes you happy shows what your character is. He wasn't happy because Nineveh repented. He was happy because he had some shade from the sun. All right, so we're getting to understand a little bit about Jonah's heart here. It's the whole title of the sermon tonight is doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. And that's the thing that Jonah missed. He missed doing the will of God from the heart. So we have on one side, we have his credentials, yes, are spot on. They're looking great, all right? We have on the other side, his companions don't have a great report for Jonah. So we have 50-50, so what we're going to do? Let's have the Creator decide what to do with Jonah. All right, the witness of his Creator. So we know, first of all, God called him to the mission field twice, but he obeyed God outwardly, but not inwardly, all right? He did what he did because he was forced to and he had to. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. All right, so what should we do with Jonah then? All right, what can we do with Jonah? And one side's credentials say he's a good guy, and the other side, his companions say he's rotten. All right, he needs some help. So what should we do here with Jonah? And I see God giving him a second chance here in chapter 4. And it's not a lesson that he has to learn, that we can learn from here tonight. And I'm glad that God's got us second chances, and a third, and fourth. And his long-suffering is just that, it's long-suffering. And we fall flat on our faces, we fail, we're sinners, but God in his loving kindness and mercy picks us up and helps us move on in life. And I praise the Lord for that. And God's going to give Jonah a second chance. I praise the Lord, he didn't give up on Abraham. He didn't give up on David. He didn't give up on Jeremiah. He didn't even give up on Peter that denied him three times. God is long-suffering. And I like how God dealt here with Jonah. Think about how God dealt with Jonah in his life. And again, this is more than just a missionary story. I believe it's dealing with Jonah as a person. Dealing with Jonah, his heart wasn't right. All right, and you see how God dealt with him in the first part of the book. He dealt with Jonah in wild ways, storms and waves and cussing sailors, all right, and whales and all kinds of stuff going on. God dealt with Jonah in this massive fashion. Now God deals with Jonah in a very, very quiet manner. All right, he's sitting outside in the sun, outside of city limits, and God's dealing with him in a very calm way. All right, has a plant grow up, a gourd shading his head from the sun. Worm comes along quietly through the night, eats the gourd, and there Jonah is being taught a lesson from his Lord. And I believe Jonah learned three important lessons there in the first three chapters. First of all, chapter one, God made himself known through his providence. To understand, you know, God, yes, Jonah knows, God, you are a God of providence. I can't run away from you. You know, if you tell me to do something, I can't run over here, you're going to follow me, and you're going to follow me up. All right, God's providence. In chapter 2, he learned about God's pardon. All right, he knows that God is a forgiving God. If you repent and turn from your ways, God will forgive you. All right, chapter 3, you learn of God's power. You obey God, and he will do something great in your life. Be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and his following. All right, now chapter 4 is where Jonah had to learn another lesson. And that's found there in verse number 10. And then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. The fourth lesson Jonah had to learn there in chapter 4 was to have pity in his life. That means compassion. It means compassion. And great a lesson there in Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan having compassion on that man they met on the side of the road. All right? And in our life, we need to have this compassion for those who God called us to. All right? Was it? We think about this compassion, and you think about how God is dealing with Jonah here, and you think about how, in fact, there in chapter 2 and verse number 2, and it said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. All right, so we have Jonah, again, the two extremes, how God's dealing with him. And you start thinking about, you know, the belly of the whale, dark, cold, lonely. It was no doubt a place you want to be. You know, it's not a nursery rhyme. This physically happened. It's true. This sincerely happened. And Jonah was swallowed by a real fish, and he was in the belly of this fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I think about where he's at, and think about, you know, the condition he's in. He goes from there, dark, you know, dangerous and cold and damp, lonely place, out to a place outside the city, where the sun's beating on him. And it's a bit torturous for him. It's hot. There's a vehement wind blowing, very, very hot Middle East wind that blows throughout the day in the summertime. Very relentless. Can dry your skin, make it dehydrate. Very, very hot wind. You think about what's taking place, and I don't know. I'm thinking about this. This is a thought that I had, and maybe my opinion. But I believe God was trying to teach him what hell is like. And to understand that those people in Nineveh, all right, we're going to go to a place called hell if he didn't preach to him. All right, we know that hell is a dark place. It's a torturous place. It's a hot place. It's a place you don't want to be. So I believe God had a little bit of lesson for Jonah in many different ways. And one of this way, maybe for Jonah to experience a bit of hell on earth in his lesson that God had for him. But what did God want from Jonah? And what does he want for us tonight, from us here tonight? What does he want? God, when God calls somebody, he calls all of you. He calls all of you. All right, in chapter 1, all right, Jonah understood God's will with his mind. He knew exactly where he needed to go. All right, he understood God's will with his mind. And God wanted to have Jonah love his will, God's will, with his heart, all right, and do God's will with his will, controlling his body. But Jonah had God's will in his mind, but not the rest of him. He picked up his body and went in the opposite direction. In fact, in chapter 1, we have God had his mind. In chapter 2, God had his will. There it says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice, I will pay. Or he had his will. In chapter 3, God had his body. He physically went. After being spewed up out of the fish's belly, he went to Nineveh physically. All right, so he had his mind, his will, and his body, but God never had his heart. He never had his heart. And that's what God was after. If God has your heart, everything else take care of itself. Everything else will follow after. God wants your heart tonight. That's what he wants. And that's the lesson that the Lord is trying to teach Jonah. Jonah is loving the wrong thing. So how did God teach this to Jonah? How did God bring these things across to Jonah? And God showed Jonah through this little lesson of the gourd and the worm how immature and foolish he was. And Jonah had to be taught about having compassion in the right things. Compassion in the right things. And God wants my heart. If the heart is right, everything else will follow. If you love me, you'll love my people. You love my people. Understand that he's trying to show Jonah, you had compassion over a gourd, over a plant. Yet I made these people, millions of people that I died for, yet there's no compassion for that? So we got to have the compassion in the right things.